What's up, CJ? Look at that. Look at that. He's coming to sit down.
He's nice to me. Yeah. He's nice to me when he wants to be. We love having CJ around.
And he got my back every once in a while. Get on me every once in a while, too, though.
Yeah.
TP, what's up with y'all?
Go ahead, man.
CJ, how are you, buddy? First and foremost. I'll tell you what, we've already spent the majority of our first hour talking about the quarterbacks. You guys are getting to be under the radar. It was a pretty good day, it looked like, for the run game, but a lot of the media is not talking about it. How did you think practice went for you yesterday, first day in pads?
I thought we ran the ball well, better than we have in the past, putting on a pass on the first day. We definitely just didn't let the defense bully us completely. Of course, there's some things I always got to cover up, different looks. But I thought we ran the ball really well, you know, and we're excited about that. And if we can continue to do that, it doesn't matter who's under the center. We'll make their job a lot easier.
Obviously, I'm curious your perspective of the offensive line. You're running behind them, and there's a lot of new faces up there, right? What are some of the differences that you're seeing with this new offensive line and the mentality that you're seeing?
I just think the scheme, you know, the scheme that we're in. You know, I'd said it just before, you know, Kubiak was only here for a year, and, you know, he had one draft, which was, well, I don't know, 7 to 10 picks at most. And he couldn't draft, you know, you're not going to pick 10 people to draft for your scheme and your system in that one draft process, you know. And, you know, when you look back at it, Matt Paradis was here in the Peyton Manning system back when we had Gase. And, you know, so players like Benny and Cody was drafted in that same system, type system that we're doing with Mike McCoy. So, you know, I think the scheme for our old linemen, you know, and then bringing Menelik, with Musgrave and what he did over there in Oakland, you know, Ron O'Leary, kind of the same things, even though they're a little outside zone a lot of times. So I just think the scheme is a little bit more suitable for our players.
Are you excited to get that fullback out of the way? You were maybe the first back I'd ever heard say. I frankly don't really want the fullback in front of me.
I like Andy. There's times need it. There's times when you need it. I do like being back there by myself, but there's definitely times where you need it. I mean, you understand if you bring the fullback in, you bring the extra guy in the box. That's one reason. But you also understand if you bring in the fullback in, you create an extra gap for yourself too. So, you know, I like to switch it up. You know, I don't want to be heavenly with him back there and we're just, you know, making it like it's so obvious. But the switch up part of it is really good, so I'm excited about that.
Break down some of the technicalities for you personally and the difference of these schemes. You know, in the wide zone, obviously you're stretching the field, you're cutting it back, you're watching that front side tackle. That's where your read's coming from. What are some of the technicalities of this offense that are a little bit different from how you just start, from the way you start to finish the play?
Shoulders are square, and I get a chance to pick any cut I want from A, B, C, you know, and that's from those gaps, and that's what I'm excited about. You know, I was just telling, you know, Dave over there that it's kind of funny. Like 2014, I came on the scene in this system. And then 2015, we changed everything, won Super Bowl. So I'm not mad about that. We changed everything. And then I was getting ready to go to Miami to join in this system. And then now this system came back to me. So I'm super excited. Like I said, man, just having your shoulder squares, getting downhill, that's pretty much my game. Breaking tackles is one of my heavy, you know, strong suits, and I get to get back to that.
You know, I may throw this question at both of you because you both would know. How hard has the last couple years been? Because you've not had – look, the defense is the defense because the no-fly zone's been together since 2014, right? That defensive line, for the most part, has not had a lot of guys switched out. You have had how many different offensive lines to run in front of with how many different guys trying to fill in? I mean, how hard is it when you're not together with the same group, even in back-to-back years at this point, to get timing down? I'll ask you both about that. CJ, let's start with you as the back.
Well, you know, the NFL is a changing business. You know, you're not going to have the same team every year. And I think part of that was with them on the other side in 2014, they had Jack Del Rio, and then they get Wade, and then we lose Wade, but they still got a bunch of Wade staff, so they're still running Wade's system. You know, I think this is their second or third year going into Wade's system. And with us was, like Tyler said, we changed our scheme up, so you have to change some of your offensive alignment to fit the scheme, and then now we're back in another scheme. So, you know, I ain't going to say it's tough. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I have a job to do just like they have a job to do. So that's pretty much how I look at it.
No, I think that's a good answer. Look, this league is – it's always rotating. It's always changing. And in reality – the turnover, whether it's a new head coach, a new staff, I mean, it's pretty similar every year from your roster. It's insane how quickly it turns over. So this feels similar, I would say. CJ, I'm looking at you right now, and You look to be in phenomenal shape. You look lighter than I've ever seen you personally. I don't know what you're weighing in at right now, but I've talked about you a lot last year and past of, you know, when you're healthy and you're rolling, I mean, absolutely one of the best backs in the NFL. Last year you came out, that Carolina game, I'm telling the whole world, I mean, this is the best back in the NFL right now. Unfortunately, injuries have caught up with you throughout the course of your career. Right now you're lighter, and I'm just curious, does that go into it? Why are you lighter right now?
I just think being, you know, I've always, you know, kept my weight, you know, maintained. I just think coming in lighter, being a lot more conditioned, helps you with that 16-week grind, you know, so you can take the bulk of the load of the carries or take the bulk of load of the plays, you know, because I do understand we're all going to play back there, you know, and I've always understand that since I've been in here, you know, that's how I've always been here. So I just think being lighter, you know, having that extra condition and endurance to take the load, I think that's going to help me a lot. And, you know, that's something that that I never took in consideration. You know, it's crazy. It takes you 5 years to figure some things out, but it took me 5 years to figure that out.
Yeah. Hey, look, that's for all of us, right, especially in our 20s. We'll let you go on this, but I'm just curious. Do you think – maybe it's a tough question for you to answer, but I know for a fact, even listening to Tyler talk about it, when they lost you, Trevor lost that extra set of eyes back there last year. Now, I think Trevor still had a nice rookie year, frankly. I think, and people have to remember it was technically his rookie year. But a lot of what you saw, you had those Peyton Manning eyes, it seems like, after he left you. He had one less person to kind of help him with the checks and the defense and so on and so forth. Do you think your mental game is undervalued?
I don't think underrated.
Maybe I should put it that way.
I don't think upstairs in our building, maybe out to the world, I pride myself on preparation, and I pride myself on situational football and knowing as much as you can know. Playing with Peyton, you know, you get that, and that's something I took from him. And, you know, it'll be – I've always said if you play with some type of great players, you got to take something from somebody. And, you know, even back, you know, when we had Sean Phillips and Champ Bailey my rookie year, just listening to them and how they see offenses, you know, and that's something I took in my rookie year when I used to be in the training room with Champ. I pride myself on that. If I'm underrated out there to the world, that's fine. That's my competitive advantage. So let's stay under the radar.
Yeah, no more stories about the training room this year. How about that?
Amen.
CJ, we appreciate it, man.
Hey, did you throw away those weighted Tony Hawk dice yet?
Tyler got the
nobody knows what that Tony Hawk means.
Tyler, you know what? He doesn't win Tyler, anything yet. He thinks you're all cheap.
Tyler got the best of me that day. Yeah. I got the best of Tyler that day.
Nah. Garrett, how are you?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you?
You know what? I'm keeping my head above the waterline, dude. So how's it gone for you early in camp?
It's going good. You know, it's definitely a big learning curve just coming out here with Von Miller and Shane Ray and just trying to learn from the best. You know, our conference is so powerful with the best pass rushers in the world, and we have one on our team that I get to work with every single day and learn from. And, you know, learn from my mistakes and just try to do the best I can protecting him. But he makes me better. You know, he's so fast off the ball. You know, it's not going to be that fast in the game. So I get that extra fastness in practice so that I can be ready to play in the game.
So if you were having a conversation with one of your boys like tonight at 9:30 after you're done with all of your film study and you're out of the book and you're just having a casual conversation before you call it a day, and you were talking about Von Miller, how would you describe what you've seen of him in practice to one of your boys?
He is definitely a competitor. You know, every single, he has that, you know, that edge and that his eye. You know, every time you line up and you look at his eye, you know he's going to attack you, and he's going to make you either one slit your throat or one make you roll around and try to protect him, because that's what he is. He's an attacker, and I call him the Chinese dragon because he's always moving and twisting, and you never know what he's going to hit you with. But you know, every single day, like behind me right now, he's running hills. And that's just the type of player he is. You know, he wants to be the best, and he wants to stay on that field to help our team win. You know, he was a Super Bowl MVP for a reason, because how dedicated he is and all the time and effort that he puts in to make our team better. But he's such a great leader, you know, taking the young ones underneath his wing, you know, being there, talking with us, sharing the experiences that he's had in the previous past, and just being an outstanding person. You know, I love him. He's like my brother, and I'm going to always have a great relationship with him. I'm so thankful to be his teammate.
We're talking to Garrett Bowles, first-round draft choice out of the University of Utah. Before I talk a little bit about you specifically, what couple of things has Vaughn showed you in practice, if there have been a couple of things, where after practice you've sort of stepped back and said, wow, really?
Just my footwork, you know, staying square to the line, because, you know, he's told me the people that cause him the issues is, you know, being consistent in your pass set, you know, because it's hard for a defensive end to try, or an outside linebacker to blitz off the edge if you stay square to the line, because they don't know what to do. They got to go through you. and make sure that I punch. You know, he's really taught me how to punch and to keep my hands and to switch things up. You know, I'm going to either jump set or I'm going to 45 or I'm going to vert him so I can switch things up on him so that it makes them a little hectic and then they got to think a little bit more and, you know, just try to take him off the game. But he's just been so awesome, man. I'm very grateful for him. And, you know, there's nothing better than, you know, me getting drafted here the first night and then him calling me and saying he's so excited for me being here. But it's been a fun ride, man. I'm excited to see where the season goes.
Yeah, I am too. Terminology for you. Now that you've had a chance, you're running with the number ones in Mike McCoy's offense here with the Broncos. How different is some of the terminology in terms of the actual play call as compared to what you experienced at Utah?
I wouldn't say it's much different just because we ran a power scheme and, you know, downhill throw at Utah, you know, in a shotgun formation. We like to run the football, a lot of power and a lot of outside zone, a lot of inside zone, and that's very similar to Coach McCoy's offense. But, you know, the terminology is different everywhere. You got to learn the different things with Coach Davidson, what he calls and the things that he calls. You just got to listen carefully. But like I said, it's a big learning curve every single day. I learn something different. I watch film and I try to get better every single day. And that's what I try to do. But I just try to play my game. You know, I like to get out on the edge and, you know, protect my quarterback's blindside. I like to get up on the edge and run and, you know, at the outside zone or come off the power and climb to the backer. So I like to do all that, and this is such a, you know, great offense that I fit in extremely well.
You know, I played a long time before you, but I remember back, offensive linemen back in the day had trouble maintaining weight, believe it or not. You would think big guys really had to worry about losing weight. Not the case. I mean, have you been able to keep weight on? Has that been an issue for you?
It hasn't been an issue. You know, I'm right where I need to be. I like to stay between 295 and 305. That's where my range is. But I don't like to get any heavier than that. I just like to, you know, be fast and explosive off the ball. You know, that's one thing I have going for me is I'm fast and I'm athletic. And, you know, I just got to continue to work on my game and craft it to where I need to be so that I can be ready for week one.
You got to be excited. Last couple of questions, by the way, and I'm talking to starting offensive tackle, left tackle, Garrett Bowles from the University of Utah. He was Denver's number one draft choice this past spring in the NFL draft. You got to be excited. I know it's a day-by-day proposition in training camp, and yet you look sort of down the road. You peek ahead a little bit. You guys have a first preseason game coming up in about 10 days.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I can't believe the season starts off so fast. But, you know, these four games are really going to help me. You know, at Utah, as I learned that, you know, my first three games, you know, I was just trying to learn everything, trying to get familiar with my guard, Isaac, and then all of a sudden I had my breakout and I started playing really well. And so, you know, having these first four preseason games are really going to help me just be better and better. And so when week one comes around, I know exactly what I need to do and exactly what I need to watch and so that I can be ready to roll. But Coach Davidson does such a great job preparing us. You know, we have Coach Joseph and his outstanding, you know, staff that he hired, and we're just ready to roll.
How, and by the way, Garrett, feel free, because you are a number one draft choice. Next time the guy with the mower rides by, just go over there and knock him around a little bit. Say, dude, listen, I'm trying to do a radio interview, so don't drive this thing so close. You know what I mean?
I'll do that next time.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, from an offensive line point, final question for you. Important that you guys work work together. You've had a chance to work next to a couple of guys at left guard. How is the communication going early in camp as a young guy just sort of trying to fit in and figure out what you're doing?
You know, Max Garcia does such a great job. You know, him and Ryan Leary hold it down on, you know, in the middle with, you know, Matt Paradis when he comes back healthy and Connor, and they do such a great job. But I love playing against Max. You know, we got that new guy in from, you know, the Eagles, Allen, which is, you know, a veteran O-line that's been in the league for 10 years, which is great to play next to, too.
Barber.
But he's just getting familiar with the offense. But me and Max are going well. We talk, and we notice when we talk, we do better. And when we don't really talk, you know, things happen. But we just got to continue to get better every single day, you know. He's new playing with me, and I'm new playing with him, and I'm in a new offense trying to figure everything out. And so, you know, especially being a rookie in this league, you got to grasp everything and just do what you can to, you know, be better every single day, because, you know, there's going to be days where you have three good days in a row and then you have a little step back and you have 3 days in a row again, or you just take, you know, one step forward and one step back, and that's how it is as a rookie. So I just got to find my ground. I got to find where I need to be and just continue to move forward every single day.
Hey, last thought. I said this will be it. I interviewed you the day you came in and had the press conference. You talked about your son, little bitty baby. How's the baby doing?
Baby's doing outstanding, my man. He comes out here every single day. He's getting big. You know, he's almost crawling. He's about 7 months now. My beautiful wife is taking good care of them is I don't get to see them as much as I would like, but I go home every night before bed checks and just make sure that they're doing okay and checking with them, because my family means everything to me. You know, without them, I can't focus. And, you know, they're there to me to help me, you know, clear my mind and get away from football a little bit, and then, you know, where I can have a break and then I can get right back to it and do where I need to be. And, you know, my wife does such a great job with that, and, you know, I'm just extremely grateful for them and their support that they have for me.
That sounds awesome. Go get on that mower, dude. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, my man. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
We're going to talk with Isaiah McKenzie. He's super excited about it, too. Welcome out early. Hey, how's rookie life treating you, Isaiah?
It's been pretty good. You know, I'm learning from all the older guys and just, you know, going out and have fun.
You know, this is obviously your first go-around in the NFL. Just talk to us about it. First impressions, difference from college to NFL training camp.
It's definitely a little faster. You know, everybody appears faster and things like that. And it's just, you know, I feel like, you know, everything around me is just, you know, moving kind of fast. And I'm just taking it in and just doing my job the best way I can.
What do you think of this offense so far? This is a new experience for these guys, but you're one of the guys I think they drafted to custom fit this offense. Do you like what you're seeing?
I love what I'm seeing, you know, how we throw the ball and how we run the ball, especially, you know, seeing the receivers like, you know, DT and the Mayo Sanders do their thing and things like that. I'm excited for this offense, and I'm excited to be in it. So,
you know, there's an open third spot at that wide receiver spot right now, and somebody's going to grab that thing. Benny Fowler's obviously got every opportunity in the world. He's kind of the veteran returning, and I know that there'll be rotation no matter what. But what's that look like just kind of in that room? You know, I know how it is. I played in this league for a long time, and everybody's buddies, but you're competing, right?
Yeah.
And so what's that? Talk us through the dynamic for people that don't know what that can be like when you're competing against your brothers.
It can be pretty tough, you know, just knowing that you're here to take another guy's spot and just doing, you know, trying to make the team and trying to, you know, get in that third spot. But everybody in the meeting room, they, you know, we're nice to each other. We're not thinking about it too much. We're just out there playing. And, you know, when you're out there playing, you don't really think about who's going to get that third spot or who's going to be the next receiver up. But, you know, just, you know, competing, nobody takes it as an offense. They take it as business. So,
mm-hmm. You know, training camp gets interesting because you get guys with a lot of interesting numbers. You just went through a number switch before. I'm curious to see what happens with Stephen Ridley, who's wearing number 4. I don't think I've ever seen a running back wearing number 4. You had number 5.
Yeah.
Which you've got a grin about. I think that sounds like maybe a number you like, but now you're wearing a very special number in Bronco history, and number 84. Are you bummed to lose the 5? Are you honored to get Shannon Sharpe's number? How do you feel about that thing?
Actually, I chose the number. I was like, you know, just 84 because no teams were open. And I know I can wear 5 in the regular season. You know, I can wear it in the preseason. But, you know, I'm pretty stoked about it that I get to wear, you know, a Legends number, a Hall of Famers number. And, you know, I'm going to represent it well.
Why 5? Was 5 the college number?
No, it was just
what was available?
Yeah, it was available.
Yeah, you get handed a number, yeah. Andy.
Well, I'll tell you this. When you get to go from 5 to 84, that makes you feel a little bit better about things, right? Because like you said, they are thinking about the regular season then at that time.
Yeah.
Isaiah, you're a very dynamic player. I've read some comparisons to the Chiefs' Tyreek Hill of just your skill set and the way that you can be used as a punt returner, as a kick returner, you know, in the slot. How are you best used? Where are you at your most effective on the offensive side of the ball?
In the slot, you know, in the slot, a jet sweep guy, you know, a little bit of running back, a little bit of everywhere. I feel like in the offense I can make a big impact, you know, wherever I'm at. So,
how you feeling about this altitude? Still burning or are you done with the lungs burning?
Yeah, I'm done with the lungs burning. You know, in the beginning, when I got here in May, it was pretty, like, you know, hard to breathe. But now it's easy. So.
Did you panic at all?
Nah.
People go through a little bit of panic when they can't get their air. That never happened to you?
Nah, no way.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, we appreciate you stopping by, Isaiah. Continued success. Stay healthy, and just we'll talk to you during the year.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thank that's you. Isaiah McKenzie. He's a member of the defense that – well, Kasim, first off, welcome to Denver. Andy Lindahl, Tyler Palumbus.
How you doing, man?
Did you ever get a block, Kasim?
No. You know, I'm sure we went against each other at some point. I don't know. What year is this for you?
This is my 4th year now.
Okay.
He was in Washington most of his time.
I mean, I played New Orleans a lot, but mostly when I was out in Washington. I don't know if we ever went against each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But I taught these guys everything they know. That's why you're beating them up in one-on-one. So,
so what's the mood this morning? Because, you know, we would like the quarterbacks to feel okay about something. And as you're seeing, I've been told by a number of people, when you play against this defense, they don't really allow anybody to feel good against them ever. So
right.
Talk about yesterday's practice.
I mean, it's just it's crazy to see, you know, like the defense has so much energy And it's so contagious. You know, starts with the pass rush. Vaughn always energetic. You know, the LB's doing the thing. And then the DBs, the no-fly zone, just it's great to see. And I feel like it just motivates everybody to step their game up.
Kasim, I've been in your spot a handful of times in my career where you kind of get brought in to be a contributor of the team. Then all of a sudden you're like the contributor, you know?
Right, right.
And so obviously that's fun for you, but not necessarily what you expected out the gates. Just talk to us about that process and from start to now of going from kind of being a contributor to now all of a sudden you got to be a full-time guy.
Right, right. I mean, every time we're yet, and I think you've been in that situation before, coaches always say, hey, you want injury away from being a starter.
Yep.
So no matter what it is, you always got to expect to play as much as you can and as good as you can. And really, if your jersey number's called, something happens, you got to be that guy.
Pass rushers have always loved this defense. Can you tell me why?
I mean, you got the backfield over there locking people down, and then there's just so much pressure, you know, and the schemes, the coaches, the players, everything together works perfect, and I think that's why you generate so much pass rush.
All right, you got to walk me through a little bit of Von Miller's mindset right now. You know, during 2015 on the Super Bowl run when I was here, DeMarcus Ware was the teacher, right? Mm-hmm. And Von was not necessarily teaching the way he is right now. And when I watch him, he's going from guy to guy, including defensive players, including pass rushers and offensive linemen, and teaching. What are you seeing out of Von? And is he really kind of – you weren't around for D-Ware, but I'm sure you can imagine how good of a teacher he was. Is he trying to take on that role?
Most definitely. I mean, he's literally talking to everybody. During meetings, you know, he just stops everything recording. He says, hey, listen, try this. You know, we stand up. And he just talks about angles, how you use your hands better. So he's really has that teacher role, that motivator role, like the leader role, everything you can imagine. And I think he's really trying to step his game up too.
As you now got to go through the full pad yesterday, were you as excited as everybody else? Now, I know some of the middle linebackers made it clear, and I think even TJ Ward told us that D'Angelo Henderson – they thought was a little too confident running through the middle, maybe bumping some guys, so they were looking forward. I know Todd Davis in particular was looking forward to maybe putting a pretty good hit on him. Now, he didn't practice yesterday. Do you have anybody in camp right now that you're kind of excited to have the full pads on against?
Not really. I'm just trying to make plays out there. So whoever's in the way is going to be in the way.
What will be your goal for today? Is it going to be shut down the
make
offense again? Have they talked to you at all about letting the offense have a little bit of confidence out there?
I mean, me personally, I really approach every day like, hey, today's going to be the best practice I've had in my life. And I feel like that's the approach for me to get better every day. So really, when I come out here today, everything I did so far in camp, I need to do it a little bit better.
Left tackle situation is about the only spot on the offensive line that's a little bit hairy of who's going to start. Talk to us about the two guys you're seeing rotate over there. What are you seeing from them?
I mean, listen, they're both in the unique skill sets, you know. But I think both of them are great. Sometimes I don't even pay attention to who's there because they're both just big, stout, physical, angry tackles. So it's not just like, oh, well, this guy does this. It's just like, well, they're trying to take my head off right now, either guy. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, like, who's got the job.
All right, before we cut you free, I was going to tell Tyler about this. How far have you driven with your gas needle, like, right near the end? Have you ever pulled it where, like, you just get right to where you need to be or pull right into the station where you know you're about to be out?
Maybe one time, but it was in Los Angeles after a very long drive.
What was your feeling when you finally made it to the station? Did you get a big sigh of relief?
Yes, but then I realized I left my credit card.
I left
my wallet at home. So I turned the AC off, windows down, everything.
I've done that. I kind of
stuck in there another hour and made it back home.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Oh, well, Kasim, we appreciate you stopping by and chatting with us. Have a great practice today. Stay healthy, and we'll look forward to talking to you here during the year.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
If you need any help, I'll come give you some one-on-ones right now. Right?
I appreciate you.
Yeah, all right, guys. That's a confidence booster is what he's offering you. Anyway, what? That's Kasim Edebali. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I still got it, bro.
Are you big and angry? Look.
Well, you hear the way Chris Harris Jr. was talking after practice, and he had a rather vicious quote.
Yeah. I was like, dude, is it Shark Week?
Yeah.
Take him out to deep water and drown him?
Said, we want to take these guys out to the deep water and drown them, you know? I got a guy about to sit down with us right now that might not agree with
that. No one's
that.
Drowning Virgil Green,
right,
I can tell you that.
Trust me. I arm wrestled him once over a card game I lost. Yeah.
What did you hear Chris's quote? I mean, Chris apparently had been watching Shark Week. He was asked about the practice yesterday, and he said, we don't want to give the offense anything. We want to take them out to deep water and drown them.
Yeah, I mean.
And I'm not real sure where that came from.
That all sounds good, but You know, it's been back and forth. We've really been competing. Offense has done some good things. Defense has done some good things. And that's what you want in a training camp. I was talking to the guys yesterday. What I like about this camp is it's just real competitive. It seems like every practice is a game-like scenario, game-like situation, and it makes it fun.
Yeah, you know, there's always going to be ups and downs. And I was telling Andy, a head coach can never be happy. Offense looks good. Defense looks good. All right, well, somebody didn't look good, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's the way practice goes. Yesterday was the first day that you guys really kind of started to hand the quarterback some check with me, some options at line of scrimmage from what we've heard. And talk to us about what that meant to the offense. Was that kind of a part of some of the hiccups of just learning how to handle the check with me's?
I think it is a newer system for both Trevor and Paxton. So learning some things, learning what Mike wants, because Mike wants things done a certain way. So it's just getting on the same page with Mike and knowing exactly what he wants. And I think as training camp goes on, as we get more reps and the preseason with the four games, it's just going to become more fluid for both those guys.
Running games look pretty good so far, actually. It looks like you guys are getting great push up there. You've always been known as a fantastic run blocker. What's the collective unit looking like up front right now, and do you feel like you're making some progress in the run game?
I think it looks good. I think especially in the center of things and from guard to guard, we got some nasty guys in there.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. You know, over the past few years, I've always been the guy out there, especially on game day, kind of running my mouth, kind of, you know, talking and things like that from a tight end, and which is kind of unusual. And to have some guys who I can run my mouth with and feel them next to me and knowing that they're going to have my back, it's a good thing.
Hey, before you ask your next question, you were talking about the us versus them thing, you know, you kind of, there's separation. If there's anybody that understands the us versus them thing, it's Virgil Green. I'll tell you that right now. That guy will have your back.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. I'm in the trenches. I always tell myself I could be a glorified tackle in the way I think. I'm all about physicality, and that's what I thrive on.
Maybe we need to get you number 84. Let's take it. Who's the kid that just got that handed to him? Maybe you need to go from 85 to 84. Because the last guy that was a tight end, then they might have a conversation with you, wore 84.
Well, I can't. It has somebody that weighs at least 200 pounds has to get it before I get it.
You know? I like it. So, I like it.
Virgil, how much has this offense changed since the first time around with Mike McCoy?
I think there are a few little wrinkles to it. Obviously, Mike went to San Diego and had Gates with him there, had Phil with him there. So I think they changed some things that Mike liked and he brought it back. But for the most part, there's a lot of similarities. And Mike, I think he understands that, you know, as players, we're going to like certain things. So he's always willing to change things based on what we like. Now, it may change, it may not, but we have that discussion about that in our meetings. And it's good to have a coach that understands that we may have to switch things up based on how players feel.
You know, I went through the install of this exact offense. I know what it's like to be at this point in time. And actually going from the Kubiak scheme, it was Shanahan at the time, but going from the Kubiak scheme to this system, and it was very challenging for me personally because it was an entirely new language. How do you feel like some of the guys up front in particular are handling just the knowledge of this scheme and really everybody on the whole offense? Are guys picking it up easy?
I think so. You know, I've talked to a few of the old linemen, and they say they love it. They love the communication we have between the coaches. And they love the physicality. Yeah, Mike likes to pass the ball a lot, but he also wants to run the ball. And so to have that mindset, understanding that we're still going to pass it, but we're also going to want to impose our will on teams from week to week. As an O lineman, as a tight end, especially a tight end like myself, I like to – the first few snaps, I like to get my hands dirty. I got some crooked fingers for a reason. So I like to mix it up.
You talk about the us versus them, and we heard from the time that Garrett Bowles was drafted that he was a nasty player, but I've also heard that they wanted him tested.
Yeah.
And word through the grapevine was he decided that he wouldn't take it anymore towards the end of OTAs. Now it looks like he's trying to get some things right with his technique and whatnot. There's some stuff Tyler's noticed and pointed out to us these first couple days. I think you know those defensive guys are trying to test him. Has it been tough for you to sit by and watch him take his lumps, or is that part of just being a rookie and you let him deal with it?
I think he actually has done a good job. It does take some time to learn some things, but he is a sponge. He does ask questions. He likes to communicate a lot and figure out, you know, what I'm thinking. And I think from a physical standpoint, the stuff he can do is just natural. You know, the things, the way he can move guys is just so natural. And, you know, once he polishes up some things and understands things a little more, I think he'll be a phenomenal tackle.
Virgil, I don't have a last question. It's more of a statement that you need to understand, okay, because there's few guys that since I've gotten in the media, I've been accused of having a little bias about because I played with them, you know, and I've attached myself to you last year saying I don't understand why this guy doesn't have 100 catches. He's one of the most complete tight ends I've ever been around. So I need you to come to life and take all those catches and prove me right, all right? That's all right. My last statement. It's not a question. I just don't want to have bias. I want to be proven right, okay?
All right. I like that.
100 catches this year?
Well, you know, I mean, it was – You know,
that'd be one heck of a game.
Yeah,
hey, they go Brandon Marshall with you like that one time. Were you here? Was that your rookie year? I'm trying to remember.
No, it was the year after, where he caught
20 balls or whatever.
I think it was the year after.
Mike I want that game plan.
All right.
Just slip it by. Say, hey, I saw this on a Marshall statue.
Yeah.
Can we try that one time? Virgil, thanks for stopping by, man. We appreciate it, and just stay healthy, bud.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.